my dreams. And it's all for something. And then for the same night, and then when I sit down and I sit in that field later, so I can practice. I'm going to be talking about mind and mental power. I'm going to be talking about thought transference and the powers of the mind, the power of will. You got a little shoot ahead on that chair right there. Okay, if you bring that back up here. Talk about something, make sure I get them all. Is there music running? Okay, today is the 16th of 1983, and this is Astrophysics Spiritual Dynamics, taught at Seeker's Quest in San Jose, and I'm Reverend Harrison Roy Heskett from the Church of Revelation Astrophysics School. And tonight the class is on mind, the yellow ray, mental power, thought transference, thinking mind, and willpower. So how have you all been doing this week? Good? In astral projection, when you're working with this, it's not a visualization inside your consciousness. It's a vision like you're in your body. It's different than the mental eye visualization and spiritual eye visualization abilities or imagining abilities or imaging abilities, we should call them. It is an actual experience, and you hold on to things. You form a lot of attachments. Okay, that would be a thing that will keep you from projecting too, because of the attachments. And what happens is when you start going out on those, where you're attached, you'll start going towards those things. And when you're doing astral projection, you may not necessarily want to go through it. So you can hypnotize yourself into thinking you've done it by hypnotic fixation, concentration, suggestion, and keep visualizing that it's an experience. You actually feel the movement, just like when you walk across the room, you feel that movement. You feel it, but it's lighter. You notice how light that is when you're raising up there? It's real light. And so it's seven levels off of the physical etherical level. It's seven times less dense than the physical dimension when you're moving in it. And when you get way up here in the crown, you've got 49 times less dense when you get up here, you see, than the physical. So you've got, each level gives you another seven times less dense energy. So it's subtle, and it's a subtle body. Some call it the shadow body, the body of the shadows. What are some of your other questions on the astral projection?
Well, I guess, what I'm wondering is, should I just forget about trying to do it then?
And so I will persist till I succeed. I will persist till I succeed. I am a success. I am a success. Persist until you succeed. Don't give up on it. If you can only just set up and sit down, set up and sit down. If you ever went up in an elevator, and the elevator stopped, and you feel like you're still rising even after the elevator stopped, can we get that awareness? Yeah, that's astral. Yeah, right. Okay, your bodies are separating at that point. Yeah, because it's unknown to you. You're not free in your emotions yet by all these attachments. And I could go into a deep thing about your attachments. But that's the fear. The fear is in your own consciousness about the movement. It's so different on the astral plane around the physical dimension. It's similar to this. And so you're really not going to some expanded altered state that you have no control. You should always have control. And you have a little problem controlling those emotions, and you hold them, you hold back on your emotions. And so that's what the hesitance to make that move. So do something you really enjoy doing. Go out and start giving flow to your emotional body. Go out and enjoy yourself, do things that you enjoy doing. Anytime things come up that you don't like, immediately let that go. Disconnect that energy from your consciousness. Say, okay, that was the past. I know and avoid that. It isn't now. And always witness to the now, the present consciousness, so that you're not worried about meeting some demon or some force or some negative thing on when you get out of your body. You see. And did you ask for spiritual guidance? Did you ask for a spirit being to help you? Like Christ or an angel or something? Okay. Ask for assistance. Ask for a being to help you, a being of light to help you, an angel, a master, someone that you believe in, is in touch with God, is in God conscious state, so that you can have that type of protection and light around you, and then it'll be a very easy thing. When I was first beginning to travel, Saint Germain would come in my meditation, over near Jerusalem, those areas, and there's some underground caves there, and the books of prophecy are inscribed and, you know, entombed in mountains, a lot of rocks, anyway, made of rocks. So we went down into this rock because the astral body isn't stopped by physical substance. We went down there, and as we're moving down this corridor, like, his light was glowing, and so the whole corridor was glowing as we moved along. We weren't carrying a light or anything. It was the glowing of his aura. So we went in, and there was I could smell musty kind of smell. I could feel the dampness in that corridor, but as I come into the room, it was drier in this room. So I felt that change astrally. I could feel that. And then, because I had connected light and astral energies at that point. And so I went over, and the book was facing the opposite, like our books open this way, this book opened the opposite way. So I made a motion, and the book opened, and I looked at it, and it was in another language, and I says, I can't read this, Saint Germain. He says, you didn't ask to read it, you asked to see it. And with that, he took my hand and took me back and put me in my body. And so I sat there wondering, gee, did I do something wrong? What was happening? That was the greatest lesson I ever learned, that spiritual powers are exact. If you ask to see something, you see it. If you ask to feel something, you feel it. If you ask for help, it's immediately there. If you ask for Archangel Michael comes. He doesn't send somebody else to you. If you ask for Christ, Christ comes. He doesn't send a counterfeit or some other being to you. He comes directly. And so be exacting with the energies and present in consciousness, and let the past go and disconnect yourself from that energy. You'll find your astral projection will be easier. Certainly not necessary for the ultimate, but if you're going to do travel, you need to get out of the body. Because next week we'll be talking about soul travel, how to travel in the soul. And then later on in training we'll be talking about light body travel. So next week we'll be talking about soul travel. Is there any other thing anybody would like to share now before we continue on? Okay. Tonight we're going to talk about mind. And I'm going to use some charts here. The first thing I would like you to know that the reflections of your inner mind are opposite in polarity and color than the outer reflections. If you are seeing the color red outside, it's reflecting green on the inner screen. If you're seeing orange on the outside, it's reflecting blue on the inner screen. You see yellow on the outside, it reflects as violet. Green reflects as red, blue reflects as orange, and violet reflects as yellow. They're just opposite in their polarities. Red and green are vibrating at the same rate, only they're traveling in different directions. One is a right-hand spin, one's a left-hand spin. And the same with the orange and the blue. They're the same vibration, but traveling in different directions. The yellow is the same vibration, traveling in different directions. And so you get a different spin on the light. The spectrum goes from its densest to its finest level. Even though some of these colors may look more dense up here when you get to indigo and violet, they're higher in vibration and less dense than the red and the orange in these lower fields. And so in your mental levels, in your higher abstract mind, this is where the color awareness is. In your body, you have chakras. These chakras take and connect to your nervous system to the brain. And so these chakras are actually cross sections of nerve ganglia. They come off the spinal column and they come around like veins would, or come around your body. Well, the nerves come around your body like that. Wherever they cross section, that shines brighter in the etheric body than the rest of the etheric body. If there's thickness in the etheric body, then you'd have a darker spot on the skin or on the etheric level of the individual. So these are like little discs. You've seen on the top of buildings, you see these ones that catch microwaves and catch sound waves from the radio stations and things, these big antennas. Well, these are like the discs that catch the vibrations at the base of the spine. It's at a denser vibration, a slower vibration. See up here at the top, it enters in high vibration. As it travels over the nervous system down and gets further away from the brain, the polarity drops and the energies drop, and so it gets lesser and more dense as it gets down towards the bottom of the nervous system. So each one of these is like a frequency of consciousness that your mind is picking up by receiving that impression in the brain. Now what happens is sound or vibration or perception moving across the ethers touch this etheric body, the energies on the nervous system. Then that goes into the nervous system and it makes an electromagnetic vibration on the fluid that's moving in the nervous system. And so you have spinal fluid and nerve fluid. I remember when I was younger, I'd get nervous and I'd get little white nerve bumps. You ever get those where they really itch and they get around your fingers? Okay, those are nerve bumps, you see. It's because the fluid is coming to the surface of the skin. You get very sensitive to that area. And I've seen people get them all on their fingers, and I've got them on my fingers when I was younger, before I controlled that energy. When I was real aggressive, I found that's when I got them. So what is happening is there's a lot of energy traveling over that fluid, nerve fluid, in the nerve ganglia, and then that reports to the brain, that vibration and that impulse, and then the brain sends that out as an ingrain or pattern into the mind, and then the mind, you the self, perceive this in mind. And so at the each one of these is like a different vibratory disc to pick up different energies. I know when you were mating, you would get close to someone you love, you got a hot charge in the root chakra, the base center. Emotional, right here in the stomach area, in this part of the stomach area. Mental, this part of the stomach area. Psychic, in this part, up to here, the movement would be. Things of the higher mental body in the throat, ideas, things like that. To see and receive through the third eye, the brow picks up vibrations, and the crown itself picks up vibrations. Now this picture here, actually the crown is over the whole cerebrum, like a cap, and this is like the center of that crown. This particular chakra continues after it ends here in the pineal gland, I mean pituitary gland, and goes back to this top part of the atlas of the spine, and it hooks into this first vertebrae up here. So you're picking up vibrations through these different chakras, and that's when we were studying the body language in the first there, how we close off different chakras, you see. We close them off, we cover up that bell, or where, you know, the military stands like this for emotional discipline. And what they're doing is they're crossing off the spleen chakra or the emotional body right here by putting their hands over here. And you notice when they don't react emotionally. And then when they make them stand at attention, they have to have all their chakras open so they can get through to them. Right? They can't be standing around going like this or, you know, closing them off. They've got to be open in that attention. When they're at attention, they're standing there and they've tightened up their nervous system so it becomes like a stronger cord. And then when the guy, you know, and he's hollering at them or commanding at them, they're feeling that on their nervous system. And so they're picking it up on whatever level they're open. That keeps them all open. And so whatever area that you have problems with, each one of these chakras deal with an area of your mind, you will also cover that area up so you don't get any agitation there, any vibrations in there, or any impulse in there to change what you already have set and are comfortable with. And some people say, well, it's not comfortable not to go like this. Well, you've got the habit of protecting the heart so long that when it is open, things are changing. You don't want them to change so fast because maybe you want to think about it or do something else with it before you accept. And the heart chakra deals with all acceptance. So this nerve ganglia comes off of the spine. This particular configuration goes five bones, eight bones. So it's 5, 8, 5, 8, 5. And that's where, if you counted the vertebrae, that's where that part of the nervous system, where the energies come in for that particular chakra. Physical consciousness, emotional consciousness, mental consciousness, psychic, creative, individual, universal. And so each one of those chakras, but the word chakra means glowing disc of light. That's all it means. It means glowing disc of light. And to the clairvoyant or the mystic or the one that's trying to see, that's exactly what it looks like on the nervous system, is a glowing disc of light there. And so as your auric sight starts opening up, as we get more into the training, you do that. Now in order for the chemicals in the body to change, as that hits the nervous system through these chakras, it also causes hormonal excretions in the different glands in the body. And by the hormonal excretions, it changes the chemical balance. And if you've had a particular area bound and it's not working properly, all of a sudden it may work and you get a rush of energy. Your adrenals may have been slowing up because of your thinking and that. And then all of a sudden free your mind and you get a rush of power or energy, and now you want to really go. And so, or the thymus or the thyroid or any of these glands excreting your hormones would increase a particular level of your consciousness. The only thing that we don't have on here that stimulates also is the spleen. Then this system of the autonomic nervous system, all of these things are automatically going through their particular energies. But remember, we told you to concentrate on the heart or concentrate on the breath. You drop into the autonomic level. You get more sensitive. And so you go from the central nervous system to the autonomic nervous system. And then as you get deeper in your consciousness and begin to listen to your sound, then you go into the sympathetic and then into the parasympathetic parts of the nervous system. And these go to every organ and every part of the body here. Now, there's a different configuration for the Western mind. It goes 5, 5, 12, 8. 5, 5, 12, 8. And its configuration of where the nervous system is attuned to. And what we're doing in the teachings to bring the mystical power on, we're teaching you back to 5, 8, 5, 8, 5. And taking you out of this configuration. It's a different perception when your nervous system is picking up vibrations under this Western mind configuration, because you're overdeveloped in the will center here that carries over and overbears your heart or your understanding or your knowledge. And so thinking is commanding your soul, and thinking and intellectual mind commands your soul and your knowledge, and you predicate your experiences on it. That's not the truth. That's not the full truth. But in the West, they overdevelop that particular energy. We're not responsible for the overdevelopment. It started in Atlantis, so we're just the victims of it here many thousands of years later, some 56,000 years later. We're still suffering from an overproductive will power over emotions and over body, over cosmic energies and psychic energies back during that period. So we suffer what they call the sins of the fallen. Those that went beyond and were it, and we're still suffering from what they did, you see. It's like if someone comes through and puts salt on the land, then the next generations are going to suffer till the salt is washed off the land, you see. And some used to do that in war. They didn't want the enemy to have their farmland. They salted it. They put rock salt in there, and they put salt on the land so nothing would grow. They were giving them nothing, see, not even the land to... would be productive when they got out of it. So that's really destructive energy. Okay, this energy goes up then into the brain, and there are two parts of the brain. It's very interesting how this looks like an African mask. You know this? Actually, it's to scare your enemies, and if you cut the brain right here at the brow, cut the top of the head off, that's what you see. That's the way the brain looks. There are two bridges, the one in the back and the one in the front. Well, that would scare the enemy. They're afraid of their brain being cut. The physical destruction, but it was psychological physical, psychic physical, not the physical, that this affected a lot of the east, not the eastern east, the islands in the Pacific and that. They also used these kind of masks and things to scare psychologically their enemies. The Hawaiians did it, and from Tonga and those places, they also did that too. So that was a primitive way of disrupting your enemy by wearing this kind of mask, which brought to mind that my head's going to get cut off. And they used to eat each other, and this was the part they liked to eat to start off with. And when in Tonga, what they do is they kill the enemy, and they stick a vine through their ears and hang them up till they dry and season for a while. And then they would take and they'd bury them in a pit of fire and coal, and only leave the top part of their head off open. And when that would pop open, then they'd go over, and the priest would be the first one to take a bite. Out of the brain of the other individual to take their mana, to take their life force. And so they were actually to eat the life force of the other individual. And so I was talking to a Tonganese, and he was telling me that. Anyway, this bridge across the back is called the psychic bridge, and you notice it's kind of curved like a half moon. And so it deals, you may see a half moon impression there, or a quarter moon impression there, for the move across the psychic bridge from the left hemisphere to the right hemisphere. Now, the left hemisphere deals with your more objective mind, and And the right hemisphere deals with your subjective mind. In the back here deals with your psyche. This is called the psyche bridge. This is a straight narrow bridge, if you notice, because it goes straight across this one. And so this is the straight narrow, the gate that's straight narrow, and this is the broad wide way that leads you back into a bunch of mundane and worldly things, and back into your own experiences, your own personality, those kind of things. So we are moving your attention forward in the brain to let your mind proceed from the frontal lobes of the brain. How are you doing? You looking for Dr. Chang? Oh, I see. And so we're moving the attention forward in the frontal lobes of the brain, and the exercises that we're giving you and the visualization processes we're giving you is, instead of looking at the back of your mind, to look at the front of your mind, to be able to get direct perception rather than reflective perception. Reflective is psychic perception, direct perception is spiritual. And so psychic is always reflective, it always has a reflective quality to it. And here you're getting it direct as it is you, here you're looking as it is someone else. Again, as that subjective objective. So as you begin to get to open to the mystical powers of the frontal lobes of the brain, your perception, your awareness, your consciousness, your size, shape, distance, depth, all of this begins to gain much more power. In this little place here in the center of the brain, it's between the pineal and pituitary glands. This is called the cave of spirit, or the cave of Brahma, or the cave of Krishna, or the cave of the Atman, or where the seed atom is, or where the monadic structure is. There's all these different names. You might have heard of one of those. That's that point in the brain. Now, you're seeking to balance right in the center of the brain between the pineal pituitary glands, pituitary back here, pineal here, and you're seeking to function in the center of the brain, which is the most protected part of the brain. It looks something like this on the side view of it. Incidentally, your right eye goes to the left hemisphere of the brain, and the left eye goes to the right hemisphere. The right hemisphere controls the left side of the body, and the left side controls the right side of the body. In this brain, if you notice, back here is your visual images, hallucinatory energies. If it's too low, if you're too low in energy and too close to the earth, you'll hallucinate. You won't have a true vision. Here you have visual images coming in here. And then you have the psychic center, which is just above this. This is called the medulla oblongata in this area here, where 6,000 miles of nerve ganglia are coming together there. Real fine lines of it. And in the teachings, that chakra is called the Alta Center. And we don't teach that chakra because we don't work with development of psychic power. We work with development of spiritual power. Here where we have the intelligence level, judgment, reasoning, perception, posture, and motor cortex, all those frontal powers here, where you can control movement and control outer movement as well as inner movement of consciousness. This sensory receptive area right here in the center is called the center of the crown, and there's a fissure in the brain that goes down to that protective part between the pineal pituitary glands here. And as you go to that area in the center of the brain here, this fissure of the lando, actually, here's the head, your head area of your body, then your arms and your legs are off of that fissure. And so you're controlling when you're centered in the center of your head, in the brain there. And the reason we're talking a lot about the brain, that's what instrument you have in the body that picks up mental power. The mind is not the brain. The brain is the receiver of mind. And so this brain has trillions of little cells in it. And as you think of something, as you experience something, as you imagine something, you condition those cells in different parts of your brain. And so what we're simply doing is where most of the conditioning is in the back here and the side here, which deals with personality levels, hearing levels, the temporal lobes, this part right behind the ears. And if you're a heavy personality individual, you'll find that you have bumps right back at the back of the ears. If you're highly psychic, you'll find you have a bump back here at the back of the head. That shows the psychic power and energies manifest mystical power. And then you'll see this in the frontal lobe where it looks like it's hanging over a bit. And so that's where you can tell development through the free knowledge. And Dulan Bogata, this energy that comes up here in the fourth cerebral area of the brain, this is the psychic center, this area right here, when we're talking about visualizations, hallucinations. Where you really see is in the frontal lobes of the brain, and you're getting impressional images from your nervous system that gives you that particular energy. In the first level of your consciousness and your mind, you pick up instinctive vibrations out of the mind. Now, when I say the mind, you notice I'm not saying mind. There's only one mind. There's only one. You don't have a mind, and someone else have a mind, and somebody else have a mind. There's only one mind. It's God's infinite intelligence and consciousness, all pervading everywhere. What you're doing is you have associations with that one mind by the implanting of ingrains within the brain. And so you can only pick up what you can recognize and realize in the brain, what you've been led to when you've had some direct experiences with. And so that's the only thing you'll pick up. Now, instinctively, we have a part of the mind, which is the lower band of it, a more dense part, just like the chakra at the base of the spine is more dense. It's because that's further away from the Godhead. You see, and it's more solid in manifestation. It's not free. It's more fixed in form. So instinctive mind is fixed to forms. And there's no willpower in instinctive mind. There is no self-control in instinctive mind. Instincts are instincts, and they will play constantly. When you're in the mental powers of humanity, you instinctively have that vibration in your mind. Now, some of the ancient martial arts systems take on the mental capacity of an animal. There's the monkey gung fu, where the individual starts mimicking the monkey, and he transfers his attention off of human consciousness to the monkey's mind, you see? And now his body reacts and fights like the monkey fights. And so that's an ancient mind merging with another area of mind, animal mind, not human mind. And so there's a part of mind that's qualified as human, there's a part called animal, it's called mineral, vegetable, there's different parts of this mind. Mind comes from God, spirit animates or creates the mind. The mind animates matter. Mind animates matter. God or spirit animates and creates in mind. There's the ideas, the ideation, the creation within this mind, this infinite intelligence everywhere. God knows everything. That's what my grandma used to tell me, and the masters tell me. God knows everything. He's everywhere, ever present. His mind is infinite. Wisdom is everywhere. And so that's that one mind. Now, by your association, you are attuned to this one mind, and you may be doing it through the human spirit. There's higher octaves to this mind where you have the spiritual levels of mind. But here, at the first level, here we have the most closest part of the human mind to the animal. Instinctive mind is... So in this instinctive area, this part of your mind would be closest to your animal nature. And here would be the fear of the dark. Because instinctively, the human mind had to take and compete with the animals on this planet when it came here for the environment. Now, it either cooperated or fought it. You see, sometimes it fought the animals, sometimes it cooperated with the animals. Sometimes it had to find shelter, and it may run into a cave during a storm that's already occupied by an animal. And there could be snakes in there, there could be bats in there could be a lion in there, or a tiger, or a wolf pack, or a bear, or some other animal might have that cave, you see. And you go in there, and the humans, when they first came, were so innocent, they didn't have any fear of that, but their bodies kept getting destroyed, and so instinctively, they begin to have caution to move into dark places. So when you're stuck in instinctive mind, you may still have a fear of the dark. In your room, under your bed, you want to look. When you come home from going out someplace, your house is all dark, and you want to go up there, and you cautiously approach it, and you open the door, and sometimes people say, is anybody in there? You know, and suddenly they rattle the door, something to make a noise, you see. Well, if anybody's in there, they'll get out, you know. And that's all coming from the instinctive consciousness. This is where procreation is, and sexual energies in the undulation of strictly instinctive procreation. It has nothing to do with the feelings, the mental levels, or any of that. It's complete animal act or animal passion, heat in the body and body consciousness and that kind of sexual energies. It isn't the sexual energies of the human, it's the animal sexual energy, someone that attacks just for that. In this instinctive mind is also anything to do with your securities. Anything to do with your physical security, like your food, your clothing, your property, and the person in here would say, my house, my clothes, my food. And you look in their icebox and you say, hey, gee, I see this nice pie. You go, that's my pie. Leave it alone. See, they're very possessive, very controlled over their environment. They want to protect it. This is my house. Get out of here, you see. Not it's a house and I'm living in it and you're welcome in this house. You know, it's not that kind of consciousness in the human sense. It's an animal consciousness of protective energy. It has its territorial rights. Don't mess with my girl, fella. You see, it's that kind of consciousness. Don't mess around my mate. You see, it protects its mate, too. See? So it protects its mate, it protects its food, it protects its shelter. It does all those things from the instinctive level. And if you get caught in worrying about those things, the thing down here for humans is money. That's not for the animals. They're not worried about money. But for humans to feel secure, they need money to have property, they need money to have clothes, they need money to have food, they need money to have these kind of things, unless they're living on the land and actually going through the growth of that themselves. But then they're restricted from some of the other things of consciousness. So if this area gets restricted and gets bound up, then the energies will not expand to the other levels. And some people have had insecurity, because they deal with insecurity, from when they were a child. Well, we don't have enough food, we're not going to have enough to eat. Now, I don't know whether we're going to have enough money this payday to do this or that, or, you know, and then you start getting this, and then you get the habit of that, you see. Then that starts affecting the subconscious, which is the next level of consciousness, and then turns the emotions down to drive the desire to protect itself, the desire to get a lot of stuff so it feels secure. I remember going through about 3 months of not eating when I was living on the farm, anything but mush. We had cornmeal mush, and that's all we had for 3 months because our crops failed. And so we went over to the government, and they gave us dried milk and mush, and what else? There's three things. And that's what we lived on. That's all we had to live on. But that mush and that, oh, it was sugar. They gave us sugar, too. And so they take and they put water in the sugar, make simple syrup, and put that over the mush for breakfast. You see? And then we had fried mush for lunch. Mush for dinner. Oh, geez, it's just terrible. Mush all the time. And so I remember later when I got free, I started eating a lot of ice cream because, see, we couldn't have ice cream and stuff like that. I mean, we had to spend the money for more important things and candy and ice cream and stuff. And then I went wild when I got away from home. Gee, I wanted a lot of ice cream, a lot of candy. Well, I'll get as much candy as I want. I had candy laying around the room and ice cream and the thing and food. I'd go out and I'd spend half my paycheck on food and fill up my cabinet. And I felt insecure if half my cabinet wasn't always filled with food, you know. In case I lose my job or get run off from there, you know, I gotta have something to eat, you know, for my body. Well, I went through that for a while. And some people still go through that when they're old, because they went through, like, the Great Depression or something like that, where they had to suffer, you know. So your instinctive mind is a protective mind for this plane of existence and deals with animal consciousness. It's not your spiritual mind. In the second level of mind here, we deal with the subconscious mind. These are all the habit, patterns, conditioned reactions, which we've been talking about changing. Because when you're coming from above to below, this is the way it's supposed to be. As above, so below. As you control your emotions, you'll control your body. As you control your mind, you control your emotions. As you control your psyche, you control the mind. As you control your abstract mind, you control your psyche. Meaning, the actions are controlled by desire. Desire is controlled by your will. Will is, and thinking is controlled by what you know. What you know is what your ideas come from and beliefs. What your beliefs and that come from is what you see in image, whether you have that in your imagination or you see it out here. You get that image, and that all comes from the universe coming to you. So it comes from the source, to image, to idea, to knowledge, to thinking, to... And actually, this is yellow in here. You can't really see the color yellow, but this is red, orange, yellow, green, blue, the colors as we go up the center. So in our subconscious mind, we're dealing with emoting energies. movement of the mind towards matter and matter towards the mind. What effects this environment has on your mind comes through your emotions or how you react to it. And so the reactions, it doesn't say action, it says react. It means you act again. And so out of the subconscious mind, you act again. But first of all, it's programmed in by an action. And it's like the little child taking something off the table and the mother says no. Well, finally she programs in, she hits the hand and causes the emotion to go, ah, you know. He's programmed not to react that way any longer to take things off the table. But see, he doesn't know any better until he has that programming. Certain people have certain kind of food, and that's all they'll eat is that kind of food. And they won't eat other kinds of food. You know, I was brought up on meat and potatoes, you see. And then when I went to be a vegetarian about 9 years ago, the first couple of weeks, I was so weak. Man, I stayed in bed for a couple of days. I thought, oh my goodness, I have no strength and no power without meat. You see, I got brainwashed thinking meat had the power in. And it didn't. It takes more energy to take the energy out of meat than it does out of vegetables or out of fruits or that. It takes more of your consciousness to take and adapt the consciousness that's in the food. By that denser food. So you have the fastest moving is sprouts, and if you're taking sprouts, then that's the fastest movement and release of its energy into your body, and the least resistant to you. It releases its energy quicker. Then you have fruit, that releases quicker than vegetable, then you have your grains and nuts, and then you get down there in your meats. The meats take the longest, and they're the hardest to take the consciousness out of. Whatever you're eating, you have to change and take the consciousness of that and transform it into the human consciousness and human energies. So through emoting energies, you may have a habit of eating a certain way or feeling a certain way or reacting a certain way. Impulsive energies coming out of that second level of mind. Impulsive, where you're impulsive buyers. You can have that. See, there's no control of desire. If you control desires, you don't have impulsive actions and impulsive reactions. And so it's the control of desire body. The wise man always makes his desires simple and doesn't have a whole lot of desires. Say, I have one desire, just to be with God. That's my only desire. And anything else has to fit that desire. Anything I do has to support the desire of being with God. And so that's my whole desire, one desire, limited, and that made it so simple in my life. You see, keep it simple spiritually, you know. KISS is the KISS system, and that is KISS. Keep it simple spiritually. So just keep it simple spiritually. And so in your emotional body, begin to reprogram those habit patterns of that, and you'll find freed energy. Because in that subconscious mind, you can hold up a lot of energy. In the subconscious, you have an unconscious part. And things that you don't use that you've experienced go to the unconscious level of the subconscious. And you're not conscious of them. And maybe years later, something will shake that free and you go, oh yeah, I knew that way back when I was a kid, I had that kind of experience. I haven't even thought of it or did anything with it. But whether it's true or not, those unconscious things become anchors. And they slow up your desire body, they slow up your energy movement. So things that you haven't used, you lose them to the unconscious level, see? But you never lose any experience. It all goes from you into that collective consciousness of humanity. And it's a collective subconscious energy in humanity, or the collective consciousness of man, they call it. And so when you're freed in your emotions, then you can reach out in your subconscious and touch the subconscious of others, you see? When you're free in your instinctive consciousness, then you can touch the instinctive consciousness of others. It's when you're free and not bound and limited by your own physical, emotional, mental, psychic, creative, individual experiences, that you have this freedom when you're not bound by them any longer. But some people keep saying their mind, their I, their me, why, what, how, God knows I'm trying, you know, and then they keep going through that and they don't let those things go. Let them go quickly and keep on focused from the mass, and realize you're an individual in that mass, not subject to the mass, but an individual. You have to learn to stand apart from it. But the emotional body always even though there's a clock in there, it has the whole pattern of what 24 hours a day is. If you never saw a clock again, you could always tell what time it is if you were in touch with your subconscious mind, right to the minute, you could tell. You could also tell it, wake me up in the morning at a certain time, and that habit pattern will go off in the subconscious mind for that particular time period, and it'll wake you up in the morning. So without cooperation in the subconscious mind, you can't move the physical body. Even though your conscious mind is there, without the pattern, you cannot move it. If you haven't been taught to walk, you can't just say walk and the body walk. You see, it has to be taught, programmed in with patterns. So the instinctive mind is dealing with forms, like squares, triangles, circles, those kind of things. The second level is dealing with patterns. And they deal with patterns that have been created with your association with form and beyond form. In the next level of consciousness, and this is the level we're primarily working on this week, and in fact that's as high as I'm going to go on this chart this week, and it deals with your intellect, your mental body. The color is yellow. It's at the navel center. Mental power is your abilities to merge with infinite intelligence. By the degree you're able to merge with infinite intelligence is the degree of your mental powers. It's not how many systems you've programmed in or how many experiences you've had that gives you mental power. What gives you mental power is the ability to get off of the ego-centered consciousness and to merge with this universal intelligence or the universal wisdom or God's consciousness to all creation. The more that you can merge with that area, the more power mentally you have. It's your individual mind associations. Now you notice what I'm saying. Your individual mind's associations with this infinite mind. And the broader that is, the more mental power. And there's a language that goes in here. Now, most of us are speaking English, but you're not speaking the King's English. You notice that? We're speaking, a lot of times we speak the street English. And then we go to a particular profession and we start speaking the English of that profession, like a doctor language, lawyer's language, a scientific language is different than someone on the street's language. Different cultures have different ways of speaking and associating with matter and time and space and circumstance. And so there's difference in languages in there. Your identification and awareness of the meanings and the purposes behind that language gives you your intellect, your intelligence. How intelligent you are is how you can identify these associations with that particular area. If you're a doctor, you become intelligent in doctor talk, and you know all of those terminologies and all of the different languages as a doctor talk. He talks about shots and germs and bones and all of these things, and a lot of medical terms which the average person doesn't talk about. So he's very intelligent there, you see. But he may be a lousy golfer. He may not, you know, he may forget to, he may put on the wrong sock, you know. I remember one time I went to this doctor. I looked down, he had a green sock on, and he had a blue plaid sock, a solid green, I says, and a blue. They didn't even look alike, you know. I mean, the colors weren't even there. And I says, hey, I noticed that you're wearing two different socks today. And he got all befuddled about these socks. And I thought he was going to leave the office and take them off because I was getting to them somehow. But anyway, he wasn't, his mind was off someplace else than on his body at that moment. He put the socks, he wasn't paying attention there. So your mind is not always paying attention to what's going on right now. Sometimes the mind is, your mind associations are paying attention with what went on in the past or what may be so or what you would like to happen instead of what is happening, you see. But the truth is, the power of mental power is to be here now, because God's mind is always present. It's omnipresent power. It's right here, omniscient, all-knowing, right here, right now, everywhere. Present, everywhere, knowing. And so that's the consciousness you want. Today I met a young man. He was sitting in the sauna, and we started talking about healing and things like that, and he went out by the pool, and I was telling him that there was no limitations in mind. And he says, I'd sure like to see something that, you know, I could be aware of that. And I says, okay, give me a name of somebody that you know. So he gives me his mother's maiden name. So I start describing. He says, well, that was before she got married. And I says, well, in what you're marrying. So he gave me the married name, so I looked on the Akashic record and got her where she was now. But see, what he was trying to throw me off by giving me her maiden name. See? He didn't want me to know it's the same as his last name. See? So he gives me the maiden name. And I says, well, you're very close in some ways with this woman, da 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 da. I said, she looks like this. And she says, well, that's the way she looked before she got married. And he says, actually, I'm talking about my mother. I says, oh, well, let's look at that. Da da da. And then start reading that part of this life stream. But there's no limitations in consciousness, past, present, future, wherever you focus, that's what you're going to pick up in your mind. You have like a searchlight in your mind. You ever notice when you're looking at a problem or something, you start searching around with your mind, you go, oh, there it is, and it comes to your mind, illumines, it gets clearer to you. And we call that like the searchlight of the mind. Wherever you're paying attention in mind, that part becomes brighter. That part gets energy. That part gets, you are giving life to. Now there's two parts of this mind. Part of it, in this infinite intelligence, part of it deals with destruction and with annihilation. Part of it deals with creation and building. And then there's a part in both of those that sustain consciousness. And so we have the creator, we have the sustainer, and we have the destroyer. We have these three aspects of the mind. In you, three aspects of mind are the creator, the witness, and the doer. In every action, you have a creator, a witness, and a doer. Some of you may be asleep to your creating part of your mind, where you're creating the circumstances you're going through. Some of people aren't witnessing what they're going through. They're just the doers, and all the time they're just doing everything, and then they reflect back on what they've done. Not what they're doing, what they've done. Like the doctor reflecting back saying, oh, gee, I wasn't paying attention when I grabbed my socks. You see? Well, his mind was someplace else at that point. It wasn't focused on his thoughts. It was focused on what he was going to do in the office and some other things. And so, wherever you place your attention in mind, that's what you're going to energize. That's what you're going to become aware of. That's where you're going to start concentrating, getting depth, and that's what you will observe. To the third level, the key word is observation. To the third level, the key word is observation. You're observe where you are focusing your mind. Now, a mind that is completely open and direct sees all. A mind that is completely open and direct sees all. There's nothing hidden from that mind. But most minds are not open and direct, they're reflective. Reflecting off the past, what they would do, all these other alternatives. So you have to watch this part of mind, which is actually the sub of the subconscious, the sub-subconscious mind. Here's where we take the experiences we've had and the thinking and reasoning to change those experiences, and we reflect upon them and make a change there, and then bring that to our subconscious mind, then bring that to our action. You see what I'm saying there? We have experiences, and then we look back and say, well, gee, I could have done this better or that better, see? But you haven't done it yet. It's only there in that part of the mind, the thinking part of mind, that's reflecting that. Then the next time you take action, you take that action, and then that reflects into the habit pattern. Now your mind is leading your emotions, leading your body, as above, so below. And this mind should control emotions, should control the body, this thinking area of mind. So it has reason, logic, it has correlation, abilities to correlate things, it has ability of calculation, it has ability to analyze things, it has ability to make assumptions, conclusions, comparisons, judgments, opinions, all of these things are coming from this area of mind. They're not divine, they're only reflective, and they're not the ultimate of mind. This is only one area of the mind, a limited area. And it usually deals with the physical and emotional content of the individual. What they're doing physically, what their jobs are, what their relationships are, how they feel about things, how they think about things, and so that's all they become aware of. Most people are in these first three levels. Most people on the planet is in physical, emotional, and lower mental levels. This is actually called the lower mental body. Your thinking mind is part of your lower mental body. It's not your higher mind. It's not your superconscious mind. It's not your God-conscious mind. This is your lower mental body. And it has flexibility. Here we have three dimensions. Back and forth, sideways, up and down. Then we come to the fourth dimension. dimension in the emotional plane, which gives us the ability to go in and out of things, in and out of this feeling, in and out of that thought, in and out. Now you have this area of mind that deals here that contracts things or expands things. It can look at one little pointed thing, or it can expand and look at the whole universe. It has the capacity of contracting and expanding. And that's the fourth dimensional energy. I mean, the fifth dimensional energy is the ability to contract and expand. If you're in body consciousness, how can you be this whole city? You can't do that in your body, see? But you can do that in a mental body.